David Casterly doesn't always find hidden treasure when he goes diving. But one day in the 1990s, he got lucky. Just off the coast near Dublin, he saw something unusual sticking out of the sand on the seabed.
An earthenware bottle full of lemonade. It's still full, it still has a cork, and it's a Cantrell and Cochrane brand.
And the reason the bottle was on the seabed is because the ship that carried it sank right where David found the bottle. The ship was called the RMS Leinster, and it sank almost 100 years ago. And it's a bit of an unusual story, not because of the sinking per se, but because very few people seem to know it actually happened. To understand why that is, we need to set the scene. It's 1918, an overcast morning on the 10th of October, just 1 month before the horrors of World War I would come to an end. Ireland is still part of the United Kingdom, so it's officially at war with Germany. The Leinster is docked in Kingstown, what we now know as Dunleary. And it's a mail boat, by the way, so there's a sorting office and postal staff on board. And it's getting ready for its morning run to Holyhead. The weather is fine, and the captain might have looked forward to a routine trip to Wales. But what he doesn't know is that a German submarine is cruising just a few miles offshore. At 9 a.m, the Leinster slips its moorings, and about an hour into the journey, the submarine fired a torpedo at the Leinster.
And the captain tried to turn the boat around, tried to make it back, was making it back.
But another torpedo hit home, and the Leinster sank quickly, taking with it the lives of around 540 people. This was the greatest single loss of life in the Irish Sea. And if it happened now, the story would go viral in a couple of hours. But strangely though, recollection of this tragedy slipped quickly from public memory.
The equivalent would be if a jumbo jet went down in Dublin Bay and all the people were lost, and years later they'd all been forgotten.
Philip Lecane is a historian, and he feels that while there are a few good reasons why this amnesia happened, mostly political reasons which we come back to later, the main reason is a simple one.
Stories of the individuals who were on board the ship wasn't known. And it's very difficult to remember a tragedy when you don't know the details of the individual people who died.
So Philip set out to change all this. He wrote a book about the tragedy, and he spent years collecting stories and putting names to some of those people who drowned.
There were 771 people on board. They were made up of the crew, postal sorters from Dublin Post Office, civilian passengers from all over Ireland and all over Britain, but the bulk of the people on board that day were soldiers.
The soldiers came from all over, from the US, Canada and Britain, and even from Australia and New Zealand. And it was on this ship that the first member of the Wrens was killed. That's the Women's Naval Service.
Her name was Josephine Carr, and she was 19, and she was a shorthand typist from Cork.
But there were also ordinary people like Fanny Saunders from York Road in Dunleary. Fanny's husband had been lost at sea over a decade before, and you can imagine the terror she might have felt boarding the Leinster that morning. A terror she overcame to take a trip and say one last goodbye to her dying sister in England. And then there's a tragic story of Tom Foley and his wife Charlotte.
Tom worked for Rathmines County Council.
And they were also on their way to England to visit Charlotte's brother, a wounded soldier who was dying in hospital.
They left 10 children. Tom was the brother-in-law of John McCormack, the tenor, and McCormack and his wife adopted the youngest child and made provision for the rearing of the other 9 children. And I have a photograph of the girls on my desk at work every day as I work.
So you obviously did a lot of research for the book, and what was it like for you then, finding out all these stories about individuals who'd been forgotten?
It made it very real. There were times as I read about the death of Captain Birch, the ship's captain. He was blown off the bridge. A lifeboat spotted him. They weren't able to get him aboard because the lifeboat was packed, but they hung on to him. And finally, a rescue ship arrived. And as the rescue ship arrived, everybody in the lifeboat jumped up to grab ropes that were being thrown from the rescue boat. And the lifeboat capsized and Birch was lost. And things like that. I found at times as I researched it, there were tears pouring down my face.
Back in 1918, when the Leinster went down, no doubt plenty of people shed tears for the loss of their loved ones. But the tragedy was missed by the wider community. And there are a number of reasons for this. The timing, Philip feels, was a big factor. After 4 years of horrible war, he thinks, people probably didn't have it in them to deal with so much heartbreak. And it might also have been lost in the relief of Armistice Day, the day the war officially ended, just 1 month later. Philip also feels that it suited both the British and the Irish sides to forget that Irish people had served in the British Army during World War I. It was an awkward truth, maybe, that just didn't sit well with the black and white idea that the Irish and British were perpetually at war. And then there's a bookkeeping story. And what I mean by this is the fact that official documents only recorded civilian deaths aboard merchant ships like the Leinster. Most of the people on board that day were soldiers. The first official death toll, therefore, at 176, concealed the real extent of the tragedy from historians. And they didn't realise that the actual death loss was around 540. So maybe at the time there was no urgency to remember the stories of the husbands, wives, brothers and sisters who slipped away beneath the waves that morning, the 10th of October 1918. Until that is, their memories were resurrected from the seabed, along with a small bottle of lemonade, by diver David Casserly.
And when you see something that comes up from the seabed after probably 70 years or so at the time, or maybe a bit more, still with a cork in it, I don't know, just a slight degree of optimism that we'll get through this next few years maybe.